Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lining up behind President Biden, despite a debate performance last night seen by many as weak, Presidents Obama and Clinton and Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison.
The vice president said it so clearly last night that a presidency is not defined by a 90-minute debate. It's about the policies and the actions that you take throughout that.
They had won campaign stops in Raleigh, North Carolina, and New York today. Mr. Biden's voice was stronger and louder. The law used by the Justice Department to prosecute some of the January 6 cases was meant for business and financial crimes. The Supreme Court says it cannot be used for that. Ukrainian troops have pushed Russian forces out of the eastern neighborhood of Chasiv Yar, a town in the Donetsk region, according to the Ukrainian military. Martin Mull, comedian, actor, singer, songwriter from the soap opera satire Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, if the spinoff Fernwood Tonight, has died at 80. This is ABC News. Off. The jury in the high-profile case of a woman accused of running over her boyfriend, a Boston police officer, and leaving him to die, appears to be struggling.
In a note, jurors told the judge they've been unable to reach a unanimous verdict in the second-degree murder trial of Karen Reed. The Norfolk County judge did not accept their claim, ordering them to continue deliberations after lunch, saying this is just the fourth day of deliberations in a complex case. Karen Reed's denied any role in the 2022 death of her boyfriend, John O'Keefe.
I think things went too far. It was late. There was alcohol involved.
She's alleged a police cover-up. Brian Clark, ABC News.
A judge in New Mexico today denied Alec Baldwin's request to dismiss the case against him in the deadly shooting on the set of the movie Rust. Baldwin faces involuntary manslaughter charges for accidentally killing the head camera operator, Helena Hutchins. The defense claims the gun that fired accidentally was destroyed when in FBI testing. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough! Enough! Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something!
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Chicago Cubs, and manager Craig Counsell, whose team has lost three of their last four series, the Cubs right now in last place in the NL Central.
This is the way the game works. You're going to have a result, and you're going to have a game the next day. And you can't let the result for the night before affect the result, the play the next day. And obviously, we're not getting the results we want.
The NBA draft wrapped up, the Bucks selecting guard A.J. Johnson and 6'11" forward Tyler Smith out of Houston, Texas. There were a lot of trades for picks last night in the second round. Did the Bucks receive a lot of offers to give up their pick at number 33?
Yeah, I mean, especially where we were, there was a lot of conversation, calls from agents, calls from other teams wanting to move up into our spot, into our position. But we had our process in place and knew that if our player was there, we were definitely going to select that player.
That's the Bucks assistant general manager, Milt Newton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few showers and thunderstorms possible and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs in the mid-70s. More sunshine on into Sunday, highs in the low 70s. Rain chances return Monday. It's 71 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is
You're
home for Matt and Air on Air.
Content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Belt here. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
This is a conversation I had with the great Leonard Peltier. Please listen and happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
All right. Well, what can I do for you? I mean, is it good to get you letters? We can really promote that.
Well, right now they're Ruth Buffalo. She's a legislator from North Dakota. She's
good
been
friend.
Doing some awesome.
She's
well, as you know, she got a. You got the Democratic Convention, Democratic Convention to pass a resolution demanding my freedom. Now, unanimous votes, and then she got to see Biden, and she only allowed to ask one question. She asked for him to free me, so he told her to give all the information to his aides.
Wow.
And, and so that's what we're. But right now we're working on. We're trying to help her. So figure out how. We got to try to help her. Make sure she gets reelected.
Right.
But listen, Robert. I also think this is our time. This is worth finally starting. Every Indian that's been running has been winning.
Yes.
Native, not Indian. Not that's from India. indigenous. indigenous people. Right. We just married, beat in Alaska. I think you know about
this.
That
was crazy, yeah. First time in 50 years.
She beat Sarah Palin. Alaska conservatives, little darling.
Exactly.
And, we're winning it. But anyway, I believe it's time for us to run her for congressman in North Dakota. Not congressman, governor. Governor.
Right. Yeah.
I think she can win. I really believe she could win.
Do you have anything to say to her? Because I can relay this.
I just talked to her the other. I talked to her too on the phone all the time.
Oh, excellent!
Yeah.
Excellent.
I asked her this about a month ago. She would she be considering running? But she said, "Oh, sure." She needs help. She needs help. Yeah. Huh?
I was in a fundraiser for her a couple days ago, and people were talking about senator. That would be cool.
Well, either one, would be very, very useful too. That would be very helpful to our Native Nations.
So,
but
what do
government,
you,
yeah.
What can I do for you? What can I send you anything or,
Well, I'm in a very strict place and there's very little I can do, but listen, I have low points. I should be in a camp. And now the government, the courts are saying, prosecutors are saying I'm not guilty of murder. because they don't know who the shooter is, and
right.
you know all this. Too. But,
right.
but now that I'm guilty of aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting is not even a violent crime.
You should have been out.
So I've done 47 years on a nonviolent crime.
I know.
You know, but that's not true. It's just they're making it. That's all they're doing.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're just
making it up.
I feel so honored that you've called me. I just can't tell you.
Well, I'll be calling you a little bit often. I was just okay. Okay, then so I can reach you just about any time I call, right?
Exactly. And unless God, I just say something to my audience right now, and then I can put this on the air too.
Okay. Well, what we're doing right now is since Biden has asked the aide to get all of the information from. To his aide, and then he's going to bring it to him. But we're trying to send a delegation up to go to Ruth as one. I want Ruth to go. Then the U.S. attorney, you know, publicly apologized to what he did to me at the trial. Unheard of, first time in history, blah, blah, blah. But, and I don't think maybe my lawyer or the tribal chairman, because they promised to build a house on my land if I get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are all the requirements to get out and you know whatever you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I also told people, listen, let's help this move along. Let's get 100,000 letters to the president asking him to release me, because
mm-hmm.
there is no, and we got to mention the case. The government can't just say, you know, we pray you'll release it. We can't just say it because the Pope has asked for my freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't see he's supposed to be a Catholic. So we need, some people are saying, the hell with that, let's get 200,000. I said, look, let's just go for 100 first, then we'll keep going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I need people to help me that way, to please help me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get postcards out there set up and get the address to the president's office and make this happen. That's a great idea, and that's very simple for people to do.
Yeah. It is, you know, just cut some stamp in an envelope and a sheet of paper, but write legibly and make sure that, you know, just tell people. People should mention, instead of just pray, I pray that you let him out and all this stuff. Tell them you're outraged at what they did, because this is the Constitution they violated.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if they did this in the military, if they violated the way they did in the military, you know, they'd get executed.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's how serious of an offense it is.
Well, when you get out, it's going to be like Mandela, and the natives are all the natives and Indians across Turtle Island are waiting for this to happen. So here's something tangible that they can do.
Well, I appreciate all that, and I'll do whatever I can when I get out. If I'm allowed to travel, got to remember, I'm going to probably be on some very strict order. I hope not, but
mm-hmm.
I probably will. But if I don't, you know, I will go and speak to them. I will go and, you know, but I'm not going to stop helping my people. I've been at this all my life,
mm-hmm.
ever since I was 9 years old when I went to boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but right now I need some help. Take the time to write a letter on my behalf. And we need, let's get 100,000. And some people are demanding 200,000. Then we'll go for the 200. You know, and more, because they're going to need the votes. They're going to need the support.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's what I need. That's what I need. I need people to help me. To help me now.
Right.
You know?
And they will. And I appreciate this. I think we're going to be cut off soon here.
Yeah. Right. Pretty close.
I'm going to put that on. Probably Wednesday. So when I edit this.
Okay.
But wow, I am just feel so honored that you called, and I've been just following you. I was friends with Clyde Belcourt until he passed a couple years ago. You know all those guys, you know?
I know all of them. I was really close to Dennis and Vernon Belcourt.
Yeah.
I was real close to them too. I've been in a struggle since the 60s, bro. 50s, actually, because, you know, the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Reservation was the second reservation to be terminated. Menominees, then the Turtle Mountains, right?
Yeah.
We stopped them there. We stopped them. I was only 13 years old, but my dad and them were all out there raising hell, took over the agency, took us, said, you didn't even pay us for it. You stole from us. And now you want to take our little reservation. Okay, we're getting close. Yeah. So now you want to take our little reservation? No. That ain't going to happen without a fight, you know.
Well, with your
and that was 1958.
Well, with your work with the American Indian Movement made us young people proud to be Indian, and I want to say thank you.
We put our lives on the line. We put our lives on the line for the people because we said, you know, what good is of it? We've seen what happened with the Indians that relocated to the cities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen that. We said, we don't want that. We, you know, and look how good we've done after we did start getting funds of taking care of our own government and everything else like this. We got universities, we got colleges, we got vocational schools, we got homes for elders and retirement homes, and you know, we're using that money, at least most of us are using that money to build a nation. We're not giving it out to the...
That was Leonard Peltier. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Alusa Nation.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Rachel Thunder, who's doing the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice, and we're just doing our weekly check-in, or every other day check-in. It's really exciting to see what you're doing. Welcome, Rachel.
Tante, Robert, and Tante to everybody who's listening. Thank you.
So that's where are you at as of, we're pre-recording this on Sunday. Where are you at as of today?
So the walk is about 30 miles west of Toledo, Ohio, as of right now. And our goal is to get into Toledo tomorrow in the beginning of the day on Tuesday. And we'll be having a rally Tuesday at a park there in Toledo, Ohio. That'll be at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's cool. So just to let everybody know that isn't paying attention or just listening for the first time on our show, Rachel and the American Indian Movement Grand Council has done a walk, or doing a walk, that started in the Twin Cities and is going to end up in Washington, D.C. on November 14th. And that's a long way to walk, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started on September the 1st at Cedar Field, right there next to Little Earth on the south side of Minneapolis, and walking to Washington, D.C., like you said, Robert. It's about 2.5 months total of walking. It's 1,103 miles. We're averaging about 25 miles a day. They're core group of walkers. And, you know, like you said, this walk is called Leonard Peltier's Walk to Justice. It's coming straight out of the American Indian Movement Grand Governing Council. You know, the walk is, you know, we call it the Walk to Justice because that's what we're asking for. We're asking for justice for Elder Leonard Peltier, for him to be free, but we're also asking for justice for our people, for the indigenous people, the true and original people of Turtle Island, you know, justice for them and all of these issues that we still face and have faced since the beginning of colonization. And, you know, Leonard, he represents a lot of those injustices, you know. They tried to make an example out of him, you know, they tried to say, you know, if you resist us and you resist the system and you resist colonization and, you know, you don't leave your traditional ways behind, then this is what's going to happen. And, you know, it didn't work. You know, even though Leonard is still in prison, their efforts and their attempts to silence and control our people, it didn't work because we're very much still here. We still have our traditional ceremonies. We still have our languages, our songs, our cultures, our people, our tribes are all intact. So, you know, their attempts, it didn't work. So, you know, the only thing that they can do now is let him go.
Exactly. And for you people out there listening, our white allies, and, of course, our Native brothers and sisters, Leonard was part of the American Indian Movement, which, for me, being a 61-year-old man, really inspired a lot of us in my generation because we weren't always proud to be Native American. We hid in the bushes, so to speak, until this proud group of American Indian Movement people came out and said, enough's enough. And that's just a short version of it, Rachel.
Yeah, well, Leonard's been in prison for, you know, going on 47 years, 78 years old. I'm 31. You know, every single breath that I have taken, there's been a magic breath from Leonard behind prison walls, behind prison bars. You know, I grew up hearing the stories and hearing what happened. You know, I'm an Ames baby. I grew up in Ames. You know, my parents were in Ames. And, you know, it's far past time. You know, he's done over 47 years for a nonviolent crime, for aiding and abetting. It's a nonviolent crime. He's been eligible for parole. You know, and like you said, too, you know, I heard you mention, like, our allies, you know, our white allies and other nation allies. You know, and to that I'll say that, you know, it is an indigenous issue as far as, you know, what Leonard represents to our people, but this is also a human rights issue, you know, as a human being, that if they can do this to a human being, they can do it to any human being. And I'm pretty sure you probably saw the United Nations Human Rights Working Group report that came out where they had 107 different points on how Leonard's basic human rights has been violated over the years. And they made a direct request to the United States government to respond to them by, I believe, middle of November of this year on what the status was of Leonard Peltier's release. So, and then there was the Democratic National Committee, too, you know, officially adding Peltier's clemency to the Democratic platform, to the running platform, which is unheard of, to have a clemency request added to a party's platform. So you see, like, all of these things, you know, happening, you know, this walk is happening, all of these efforts across Turtle Island and the world for Leonard Peltier to be released. And, you know, I know, Robert, you're really big on the Native vote. And that's something that, you know, we've discussed, like, strategically as the movement and other, you know, entities and organizations and individuals and legal that we have talked to is, you know, it's really important for these officials that are in these positions of influence, members of Congress, to understand that, you know, they need the Native vote. They need the Native vote in these states where, you know, that these influential states like Arizona, like Michigan, like Wisconsin, the Native vote matters in those states. And if they want the Native vote, if they want Native vote to show out, then they need to start doing some stuff for Native people, like letting Leonard Peltier go. And I know they've got some really important elections coming up, and they might want to be thinking about that instead of just doing acts of tokenism for our people.
You know, that's a really good point. In the last presidential, I was at the Native American Presidential Forum, the first one ever in Iowa, and I was there as a reporter for my show, and I asked every one of the presidential candidates at the time, I just said, I'm going to say two words, and I want your response, and it was Leonard Peltier, and I got a lot of mumbo-jumbo. I had a few of them that didn't know. And so that's a really good point. We need to bring up these things that mean the most. You know, for me, it would be like having Mandela or, you know, get out of prison. This would rally us a big time in a good way and make us all feel good. And I think it's something, you know, Leonard's 78, you know. He's been in there 47 years. Give us this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And, you know, like something that Leonard himself really advocates for is the importance of writing and calling the White House. So I know that we've had a lot of people reach out to us, like, about this walk, you know, I can't be there for whatever reason, which is, we understand there's a lot of reasons that people can't be here, but they ask, you know, what can we do? We say call and write the White House. If every single person who was listening to this radio show wrote a letter to the White House demanding the urgency of clemency for Leonard Peltier, demanding his release, you know, and making it an urgent matter, that could be really, really powerful. And so we understand that there's a lot of warriors out there and people who fight for the people, you know, that fight for all people, not even just our people. And, you know, we're putting that call out. You know, if you can't be here on this walk or you can't be present, like at our rallies or in D.C., there's a lot of other things that you can do. And one of them, and one of the most important things you can do, is call and write the White House.
Yes, definitely. And earlier on in the show today, we're having Leonard on. We had Leonard on, and that's what he said. We need 100,000 or 200,000 people, and everybody that's listening to the show and just into justice, need to send the president, not prayers, remove, you know, at the end of our show, you know, Rachel, we always say, free Leonard Peltier now. And that's huge, because it's justice, like you're doing there. It's justice.
Yep. Call and write the White House. You know, call and write your local members of Congress, you know, House members, senators, call and write people in the Bureau of Prisons, Department of Justice, all of, you know, all of those entities that are in those positions of influence to see Leonard released, write them, put pressure on them. And like you said, Robert, not in a gentle way, because this is urgent. He is 78. He has type 2 diabetes. He has an abdominal aortic aneurysm, the fatal as it ruptured. He had a stroke that he lost 80% of vision in one of his eyes. Mm. You know, it's time to let him go home. It's past time. He should have never even been in there to begin with. The only thing that he's guilty of, in his own words, is fighting for his people.
Right. Well, hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder with a Grand Governing Council of American Indian Movement, and she's on the Leonard Peltier's Walk for Justice, which ends up in November 14th in Washington, D.C. Pini Gigi, Rachel, and happy a day before, and I guess it is today where this will be heard, Indigenous Peoples Day. And thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yep. Thank you, Robert, for having me on. And if anybody wants to get connected with the walk, we have a Facebook page that we do daily updates. You can reach out to us there. That's Leonard Peltier's Walk for Justice on Facebook.
Well, Pini Gigi, thanks again, and we'll be in touch again. Thank you so much for spending this time and really telling our audience and educating our audience, and that's what we're all about here on Native Roots Radio Presents. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Lining up behind President Biden, despite a debate performance last night seen by many as weak, Presidents Obama and Clinton and Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison.
The vice president said it so clearly last night, that a presidency is not defined by a 90-minute debate. It's about the policies and the actions that you take throughout that.
They won campaign stops in Raleigh, North Carolina, and New York today. Mr. Biden's voice was stronger and louder. The law used by the Justice Department to prosecute some of the January 6 cases was meant for business and financial crimes. The Supreme Court says it cannot be used for that. Ukrainian troops have pushed Russian forces out of the eastern neighborhood of Chasiv Yar, a town in the Donetsk region, according to the Ukrainian military. Martin Mull, comedian, actor, singer, songwriter from the soap opera satire Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, if the spinoff Fernwood Tonight, has died at 80. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reactions are split along party lines after Thursday night's presidential debate. Wisconsin Republican strategist Reince Priebus.
The reality is, it was actually a sad, embarrassing night for the president. His family should have sat him down weeks ago and told him, you know, Dad, you know, your spouse, look, It's time to step aside.
Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler says Donald Trump is still the wrong choice for Wisconsin. A second teenager from Lincoln Hills Youth Prison is charged in the death of a staff member. 17-year-old Ryan Nyblom was arrested with 16-year-old Javarius Hurd after they attacked 49-year-old Corey Prolks, who was declared brain dead on Tuesday. Nyblom faces charges of felony murder and battery. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The ladies of The View are always outspoken, to say the least, especially one in particular. Joy Behar recently said she still plans to get it on with a woman. When asked by fellow hosts Sandra Bernhard and Judy Gold if she's ever been with a woman, the 81-year-old Behar says no, but someday I will be. Behar clarified that she would do it when she was in her 90s. Sexy. It wouldn't be totally unheard of for Behar to take a walk on the wild side late in life. She met her current husband, Steve Janowitz, at a semi-nudist colony in 1982. Behar says Janowitz was naked. She was not, adding that for her to be naked in front of a man, she has to be in his will. The couple dated for 30 years before tying the knot in 2011. When asked why their courtship lasted so long, Behar said they wanted to wait until both sets of parents were dead so there'd be no in-laws. Behar was married to her previous husband, Joe, for 19 years, who I'm guessing she met playing Spin the Bottle. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few showers and thunderstorms possible and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs in the mid-70s. More sunshine on into Sunday, highs in the low 70s. Rain chances return Monday. It's 69 degrees right now.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver.
It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hi, Buju, Ani, and everybody. This is Ogamaganuakwe on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to all of you. This is going to be a best of show, and we're kind of taking it easy for Indigenous Peoples Day. So without further ado, we are going to have a replay of our interviews with Bobby Wilson, Bobby Wilson Dews, who is Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls writer and actor. So here, have a listen.
Well, I'm really excited to have Bobby Wilson. You know, a 1491er, also Rutherford Falls, and he's got his hands involved in a lot of different things in Hollywood. And I'm just really excited. I want to talk a little bit about what Bobby's doing and you know, how this experience was with Rutherford Falls and all those great things. I'm just really excited to have Bobby Wilson, the character of Wayne from Rutherford Falls and the writer in the first season. Welcome, Bobby. And you're from the Twin Cities. That makes our heart proud too. Great. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Mr. Pilots.
That's right. Well, that's right. We've crossed paths back in the 90s there as a teacher. I think I was going outside to smoke a cigarette, and I think you
were. What was I?
Yeah, you were coming in from smoking a cigarette, so what different times we had. But, hey, really excited. I love your work, and really you wrote a show. You wrote one of the shows of Rutherford Falls, but also your character's fun. And tell us a little bit how you got hired or how they found you.
Yeah, I well, the showrunner, Sierra Teller Ornelas, she's Navajo. I had done like a panel with her that she was a moderator of, that was centered around like the work of the 1491s back in Santa Fe, and that was years ago. And like we kind of had crossed paths here and there, but you know, like Indian country is very small, so yeah, I would just kind of always see her around, and I knew that she was writing in Hollywood, and I always was like, every time I got to see her, I'd be like, how come nobody like knows where who you are? Like, you know, I go to all these Indian conferences with the 1491s to do like performances or what have you, and like every time people are like talking about representation, and I bring up Sierra Teller Ornelas being a network comedy writer, people are like, who's that? I never heard of that. And I'm like, well, freaking like, get familiar, you know, like she's a beast and she's been working at this for a long time. And so she got her own show with Mike Schur and Ed Helms. And she had reached out to a couple of us from the 1491s. We had written a play called Between Two Knees at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. Yeah, it's a familial intergenerational love story that takes place beginning at the massacre of Wounded Knee and culminating at the occupation of Wounded Knee. So everything that happens between those knees is what we see. And she thought she says she loved it. She says she loved it. And so she reached out and asked if I had any writing samples because she had a show that she was trying to put a writing staff together for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I have stuff that I've written just by myself. So I sent it to her. I basically had a job interview with her and Ed Helms. And then on my birthday, November 3rd, 2019, she sent me a message. Again, all completely over Instagram, saying that I was hired and that I should get a lawyer to negotiate my contract.
Wow, so, that's totally awesome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your character, because I love the character. There's you and a lady working at the casino. I just love it. And just kind of being a... kind of a narrative towards one of the lead characters. I just love it. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about? Was there any typecasting?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Whenever we was coming up with this character, Wayne, it's Wayne and Sally, and like I guess they're probably like kind of cousin brother sisters. Like we've been very fluid with like how everybody's related in the show, as we should be because that's just how it is. But Wayne is he's kind of grumpy, but also like the subtext is that he genuinely cares about Regan and what it is that she's doing. That's why he gives her is because he loves her. Wayne and Sally, they both treat her like garbage. Even though like it's a little bit like where we talk about crabs in a bucket, we talk about this like Indian jealousy type of thing. We try to touch on those things sort of without calling it that. Except in the season finale, we finally actually call it crabs in a bucket. I love that character though. Both, all those characters.
Well, I love the fact, and I don't know, we were talking before the show, so I don't know if I mentioned this. I love the fact because I feel like it really has a lot of heart and it reminds me a lot of Smoke Signals. And in one way too, there's so much going on. I'm going, I got to watch that again because there's a lot of information coming out here. And during every episode, I was like really surprised. I'd go to my wife. I go, did you hear what he just said? You know, so it's really good because I feel like it's amplifying Native voice. We're still here in a good way.
Yeah. In a good way. Uh-huh. Wise words from Choka Robert. I'm not Ho-Chunk, but I always like that word.
Right. and you're my Chushka, my nephew. Oh. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit. I know your time's valuable, and let's talk a little bit about the other things you're working on, because this Monday, right, there's another series, a Native-centric series that you're involved in. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, hell yeah. Reservation Dogs on FX. I'm so excited for the premiere. Like, I'm so very excited for so many different reasons that would take like a day to tell you about. But like, I, as one of the writers, I get like access to what they call the dailies. And the dailies are just like, it's just when they dump all of the footage onto the server at the end of the day. And I'm allowed to like watch them, and you know, it's just raw cuts, so it's like every single scene, and it's like them setting it up and blah blah blah, but you really get like to see the performances of the actors and whatever. I intentionally didn't watch any of them. Ooh. Because I wanted to experience this as a weekly release. I want this to be one of my shows that, because I love that experience. I have like only a couple shows that still do that, you know, that I get to wait for. I'm like, yeah, here comes Saturday. Like, I'm gonna watch my show. And, you know, with a lot of streamers, they just dump the whole season on, and you can binge it in like a day or two, you know, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited to experience this show every week, because it is unlike anything I have ever seen on television.
Hey, the trailers are rocking. I'm just going, wow, what?
I know.
And being a big fan of Reservoir Dogs, I mean, yeah. Seeing the suits and everything, I'm going, hey, what's the deal here? But wow, totally excited. So what are the 1491ers doing?
Well, we're all hired. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. We're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah. Ogma, do you have a question at all?
You know, I didn't have a question, but I did want to pop in, you know, talking about Rutherford Falls and the 1491s and those kinds of things. It's really an experience as a Native person to say, they just said that on TV. It takes your breath away, because it's these things that are so familiar to us in our lives that are almost never portrayed accurately on the big screen. So it's breathtaking, the kind of work that you're doing. It's really beautiful, and I truly appreciate it. I've been talking about, we need more real Native representation in media for a long time. So thank you for your work.
Well, and then the episode that you wrote was called
Skoden.
Oh yeah. Right on. We won't talk about that though. We'll keep that on the low pro, but all our natives know what's up. So how is that experience? I mean, how is it experience, because you're gonna be writing for Reservation Dogs too, right? And how's that experience? We only got a minute left, but how's that experience thinking up an idea, putting it on paper, and then seeing it on video or on the screen? How is that experience? Is that like, wow,
mind-blowing? It's mind-blowing, man. I mean, like, you do all this stuff, like, I don't know, you it's all in your head. You write it, you edit it, you talk about it, and like, the writing experience is you write for 20 weeks, and like, you just hope that it's still funny by the end of that, because by then you've edited all the jokes, you like, and you're like, is this still a good story? I remember laughing when I first came up with this. And then you see the actors bring it to life. You see the all the people involved in the production. Hundreds of people put this stuff together. They literally built a casino interior in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
It looked like a Chica casino. And it looks so good.
Right.
I remember I walked in there and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I had goosebumps by how incredible it was to see this thing form and become reality, and then to like turn it on TV and like watch it with my daughter, and she's like, looked at me, she looked at the TV, she's like, what's going on here? Like, it's truly phenomenal, and it's mind-blowing.
Well, let's talk about Reservation Dogs, and we gotta fly. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Bobby, that's coming up Monday, this Monday, right?
It's coming up this Monday, filmed entirely on location in Oklahoma, the Muskogee Creek Nation. Ooh, I'm not one of them, but you know, I go there a lot, so.
Pini Gigi for being on.
P. Damaya for having me.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Native American Community Development Institute's Make Voting a Tradition is a culturally specific, year-round, multi-generational approach to increase voter turnout and civic engagement. The fundamental principle of MVAT is that Native Americans are more likely to become politically active when engaged by peers and family. MVAT has created partnerships with local, statewide, and national efforts to increase turnout in BIPOC and other traditionally low turnout groups. Go to NACDI.org, NACDI.org to learn more.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs such as healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of the most diverse universities in Minnesota, Metro State University is a flexible learning environment dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore more than 60 high-quality undergraduate programs at Metro State University's open house, online October 11th through 13th, and in person October 19th and 20th. Visit metrostate.edu for details.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
We're so blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1490 Erwiners, and also of Reservation Dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. Let's finish up we're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. And then how fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Oh, man, you know, how fun is it? Shoot, man. I can't quantify it, but these are the best days of my life.
Right on. So how many shows Rutherford Falls is going to have when their season opens? Is it eight again?
Yeah, it's an eight episode season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go into Reservation Dogs, and I know that's a huge hit. In you guys were re-upped for another season. I think I guess my first question is, how did it feel as working with Mr. Farmer? I mean, I'm like enamored with you, but I can't imagine working with him and thinking nothing but smoke signals.
Yeah, man. I Gary Farmer is a legend, not just for Indians, but for white people who are super into cinema, Gary Farmer is still a legend. I mean, look at his filmography, you know, Dead Man, the Jim Jarmusch film from way back. Starring him and Johnny Depp, and really more than Johnny Depp, that is Gary Farmer's movie. He's incredible in like everything that he does. And so like he's actually in an episode of Rutherford Falls season one. He plays my uncle. We don't actually interact together in that episode, but I remember the set writer, and mind you, this man, the set writer, the production writer that day, he was like a joke writer for Kimmel. He was he's been writing on big network comedies for many, many years. And he comes to me and he says, dude, like, that's Gary Farmer, and I want to give him a note, but also, like, I kind of don't. I'm a little bit scared to talk to him. I'm like, why are you scared to talk to him? He goes, are you kidding me? Have you seen Dead Man? Like, that's Gary Farmer. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So it was fun. Like, I think if this was my first time with him, I might have been a little bit more nervous. But I've had weird, like, run-ins with Gary Farmer because he's just that legendary over the years. The first time I ever went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I saw him perform as Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, his band. Wow. And he was like his own roadie, and me, Sterling Harjo, and Ryan Redcorn got like shamed into, like, because we were like standing there watching him, and it was like, wow, man, how old do you think he is? Look at that. He's so big. He's like carrying all his own equipment still. And somebody says, well, go over there and help him. That's your elder. And we were like, oh, shit. We all got up. And we, yeah, we went over, helped him out. And I was like, wow, that's Victor's dad. And then, you know, I would always see him just like randomly in places. I ran into him once in the Twin Cities at the Indian Center. I like freaking seen him just like on the streets in Santa Fe, just bopping around. And then to have him in Reservation Dogs was absolutely phenomenal. I had been in love with this character already, Uncle Brownie. Like, I knew exactly, like, this is going to be amazing. This is such a crazy character. And what a, like, to get Gary Farmer to play that character, what a blessing, what a trip. And I'll tell you what, man, that scene, I'm smoking him down. You know, he's trying to sell me his old weed that he found, that he buried in his lawn like years ago. You know what I mean? And sorry, I said I wouldn't cuss. I keep forgetting. It's just my natural way of speaking. But so he goes to the dispensary, and my character Jumbo is like, I can't buy this, man. Like, or no, I test it out, and it just like kills my throat. I'm just
like, harsh down.
And he's like, he's all, good stuff, yeah. And yeah. I'm like, no, man, no, I can't buy this, you know. And it's an antique. And then Paulina, Willie Jack, she goes, hey, Jumbo, like, why don't you smoke Uncle down? And I'm like, oh, I got something for you. I pull out this big bong. And, you know, it's funny, like, on the set, we're not smoking actual, like, THC weed, but we are smoking weed. But it's like the O'Doul's of weed. It's just... CBD. It's purely CBD. There's no, like, whatever the stuff that gets you stoned.
In yeah. It.
But it's actual, like, weed and plant, you know? And so, mm-hmm. like, we stuff it in there. And Gary tells me right before we start filming that part, goes, I can't just fake it. I can't fake it. It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And, you know, people are like, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it, Gary. It's mm-hmm. it's fine. Like, he's got an actual lighter. He can actually hit it. It's a real bong. And he's like, they're like, we'll just, you know, with effects, we'll make the smoke come out. It'll look real. And he's like, no, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. So I'm actually going to hit it. And I see him go for it. He fills uh-huh. that whole bong full of smoke all the way up. And I'm like, oh my, fills the whole bong up. He pulls that sucker out and he freaking clears it. All the smoke goes up and he just, just like coughs his smoke everywhere. And like inside I'm going, oh my God, like this man is going to die. But I don't want to mess up the scene because he just did this crazy thing. And so I'm just like, yeah. You know, really just trying to play into it and not ask him if he's okay and wants to sit down. And he looks at me in his eyes. He's just like, there's just tears running down his eyes. There's snot coming out of his nose. He's drooling. And he goes, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, no, you know.
It was amazing.
You know, from the days of Powwow Highway to, you know, it's just, it's really great to see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Way-o, way-o.
Can you hear me?
Everybody say way-o. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Okay, go. Wow. Bobby, that was a great story. Just working with those icons and the Native American voice getting out there in comedy. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. We got another minute or two here. Can you just... Are you excited for Reservation Dogs like I am? What's the vibe going on?
Oh, man, I am so freaking pumped about season 2. It is bananas. Like,
Getting a second season of a show like gives you so much permission to do so much more, especially with how successful season one was of Reservation Dogs. It's like going into we start filming in Oklahoma in mid March, and we're gonna go until May. I get to be on set this whole time as a production writer, which I'm super pumped and super nervous for, but it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, I got Miguel Z. Pensino and Tazma Chavez, as my cohort, for production writers. So, you know, they've got a lot of seasoned experience on me. So I'm so freaking excited to see how insane this thing is.
If you need an old Ho-Chunk to come down and do a cameo, let me know. I'll fly down on the first plane. Choka pilot.
We'll see you there, Choka. Yeah. I can't wait for the junior elder scene. Do I bring him a plate? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his own, I think. Yeah. or the junior elder like myself, like just looks sad when the other elders are getting their plates. So yeah. I'll practice doing that. But yeah, appreciate you spending some time with us. And really, you're making us here. I know you're an old and a young employee too. I got to give you a shout out on that. You and Dallas, which blows my mind. That organization's still going on, and I have a lot of former students that are working there. And it's a great legacy that you had.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's freaking crazy to think about staying at Endai Young as a teenager, and then now I'm just like, I don't know, writing TV and getting flown around to be on it. I'm freaking blessed, man.
You are,
and my ancestors every day.
Pini Gigi, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on. And thank you so much for all you do, and all the good words and the great spirit that comes through you and your characters and your writing. I really, really appreciate this time.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Mark Jacob will join us to critique how national media did in covering the first presidential debate.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above Lacrosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Some potential voter reactions to last night's debate between former President Trump and President Biden are not positive in Detroit.
It's no longer the conversation, I guess, for like lesser of two evils for me. It's more of like both of these candidates don't feel like viable options.
Singer and activist Elton John joined President Biden today at the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center grand opening ceremony in New York. More trouble for the Boeing Starliner capsule that carried two NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. They have to troubleshoot a few problems. More than 2 years after the deadly elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, the former school district police chief and one of his officers are charged for the delay in confronting the shooter. Consumer prices were flat from April to May, the mildest performance in more than 4 years, according to a key inflation report to which the Federal Reserve pays attention. This is ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney,